Sex is fun.
Oh, yeah, if you do it right.
Sex is good for your relationship.
Oh, yeah, healthy.
Sex feels good. All those great reasons to have sex. But it turns out there may be far more important reasons, Tommy.
Yeah.
Reasons that could keep you alive. And this isn't good when you find out how many people are actually having no sex at all.
Zilcho sexos.
You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy?
Yeah, buddy.
Did you know?
What's that?
That 1 in 5 Americans over the age of 18 are not having any sex.
How many?
1 in 5.
Over?
18. 20.
That's all adults.
Yep, 20% of the adult population in the U.S. right now is sexless.
So when they say sexless, are they also counting is a solo run also?
No, that is not sex.
So it has to be intercourse with somebody else.
It doesn't have to be intercourse, but I don't know.
Well, it has to be intimate with another. It has to have a partner has to be involved.
How do you make something so simple so disturbing?
It's a valid question.
No, I get it, but you could have just been like, you're talking about with someone else or by yourself.
You have to have a lover.
Yes.
Of some sort.
Done. Right. Period. End of discussion.
All right. You had to enter a flower. Or you had to accept something into your flow.
No, it doesn't have to be that.
Well, that would be sex.
No, well, what is sex?
Well, are they saying I have to have... so they're saying... So let's say I get a knob.
I don't know the
answer.
Does
that help my health?
I don't know.
Well,
the
no,
answer.
I'm going to say no on that because it's not both people engaging.
Right.
It's not...
There's no satisfaction for the...
Other person.
Knobber.
I guess I don't know where the study's
okay,
going.
I'm going to start over.
Unless they're in it for the taste.
I'm going to start over. Are we ready?
Less filling. It's like Miller Lite.
Tommy, did you know?
What's going on, Pat?
1 in 5 Americans over the age of 18 are not having any sex.
I'm shocked, Pat.
20% of the adult population in the U.S. no sex. And this is a bigger problem than you think.
So what's the problem besides the loneliness?
Okay, recent studies have shown sex is way more important to our actual health.
You got to wake up your loins.
Than we once thought. Listen to what I'm saying.
Wake them up.
Sexual experts in several different fields doing studies have found, one, refraining from sex from too long causes depression and anxiety.
Okay.
They believe it's a suppression of sexual urges without other stress-relieving outlets, and they say it's a legitimate problem. Two, lack of sex can have an effect on heart health and stress levels. Folks who have more sex on average get higher sleep quality.
So you need that release.
Yes.
Is that is it partly the release, partly the physical activity of it all?
Very possible.
No, but also the actual release.
Okay. But
you know what I mean? Of the orgasm and all that stuff.
Yeah,
but it does,
but
you know.
If it happens every time, because you would also have to factor that in to your release comment.
Mm.
So again,
release onto your lover.
Folks who have
or find another.
I'm sorry.
Folks who have more sex on average get higher sleep quality, which lowers rates of dementia and Alzheimer's.
Okay.
Potentially.
So this is like it's a miracle.
Shut up! Three!
It's like Geritol for your hole.
Three.
What?
Studies found that people having little to no sex have lower energy level and lack appetites. But the most alarming statistic, a 2023 study done in the Journal of Sexual Medicine found
all of them end up in morning radio. What?
Can you let him finish?
I'm going to let you do, you stupid talky talk.
We got plenty of time.
Allow me to get the information we need out for your stupid mouth. Okay.
Good stuff.
The most alarming sexual statistic.
Got it.
A 2023 study.
Yeah.
Done by the Journal of Sexual Medicine, shut up, found that folks between 20 and 59
were having
sex less than once a week had a much higher risk of early death.
Death.
Yes. If you were having sex once a week or less,
you
have a higher chance of early death. If you don't have sex, you're going to die.
Okay. But marriage rates are down, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean, we know that sex with younger people is down. Mm. I was stunned by the 1 in 5 Americans are not having any sex.
Yeah.
Okay.
I see. I think that number is low. Lower
you
than.
Think that more?
I thought it was going to be a higher number only because...
Having no sex at all.
Sexless.
Yes, because we're talking about all people over the age of 18.
Yes.
So there are people that have really aged out of doing that. There are single people who are looking for the one and they don't have the social skills to get there.
They're not sleeping around, even.
And I would also wonder, like, you add people who physically can't for whatever reason into the mix. Like, I would think the number would be higher than 20%.
Okay. So I want to loop back to the no sex at all thing in a second, because what we're finding here with all of these things, right, like the higher risk of early death, higher sleep quality, mental health, anxiety, depression, all this stuff. Now that we know that sex is this good for your body, it could create an interesting new angle in your relationship. There is sex because you're in the mood. There is sex out of obligation for like things like birthday, Valentine's. What about sex for the sake of life?
Oh.
And I'm serious.
For your health.
Yeah. If you present it to your partner.
Like exercise.
Yeah. Like Tommy, if you went
But does it hurt you?
Well, you got to lube up.
Does it hurt more than it helps if it feels like you're just doing it because you feel like you have to?
Okay.
It feels like an obligation for both of you where that, I don't know, it's not, you're not getting that satisfaction out of it.
It's a valid question, but I will answer, I think, that question as you travel down this road with me, Kimmy. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Tommy?
Yeah, buddy.
Married men live longer. It's a statistical fact.
Or at least seems longer, but yes.
And folks who did this study believe wives were the reason. They make their husbands go to the doctor. Mm. They take riskier habits.
Keep each other in check.
Yes, out of their lives and behaviors, right? Yeah. They do things.
They keep an eye on their man.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, ladies, if your main concern is your husband's health, we should be having sex multiple times a week for the sake of both of us living longer. So, Kimmy, you're right. If forcing sex may feel not great, uncomfortable, but so does going on a diet for the sake of your husband's health.
Yeah.
So does having to schedule these appointments to be a secretary.
Right, but
that seems like the easiest thing out of all of the things.
But it could also mean, I'm wondering though, if it could mean that your relationship is a reflection of that. And if you're in a relationship that you're not overall happy and healthy, that's the problem, not so much the sex. The sex is just a reminder of that unhealthy relationship.
Okay. So then you are telling me, Kimmy, if your husband came to you, because you are in between ages 29 and 59.
All right in there, yep.
Yep. All right. Which means...
Are you in the zone?
Higher death exists for you if you're not having enough sex.
I think there are the factors around that more than the sex itself.
No, I understand. But I would like sex. Not with you. Your husband comes to you and he says...
He's a creepy one now.
You know what I meant. Your husband comes to you and goes, Kimmy, I saw this study, and I think it's better if we were having sex three times a week for our health.
Yeah.
Would you agree with him? Would you agree to be like, yeah, we're going to do this?
I mean, yeah, we would give it a go for sure.
Good, give it a go.
Wow.
That's like saying, I wonder if this lawnmower is going to turn over. Well, give her a go. Give her a good pull.
Well, if we're having this discussion, this open discussion about it, it probably also means like we're both willing to try something new, to participate in it together.
Okay.
Which is a good sign.
Okay.
Again, like I think it's less about the sex and more about the healthy relationship around the sex that's making you a healthier person.
Okay. All right.
Fair. Anything to get out of three
and
times
I, and
a
I,
week.
And I right, guess
seriously.
I don't know.
That's what I'm hearing about. Okay. That is what
I don't think that's as important as lasagna night.
My point is I don't know if you're both trying to like force it or make it happen, if that's going to make you a healthier person or if it's just going to create more problems in your life.
All right, Tommy, let me ask you this question.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. I don't know if it has to come naturally or not.
Okay. Tommy, let's say you go to your wife today and you are armed with all this information, right? That your risk of early death is higher by not having sex three times a week, depression, anxiety, sleep, all of these things. And you go to your wife and you say, look, for the sake of both of our healths, we should be having sex minimum three times a week. Do you think she would buy that?
No.
You don't think she would change her pattern?
No.
Why?
I mean, I don't think women want that much sex.
I understand. But your wife takes care of you.
Yes.
Your wife looks out for you.
Okay, maybe in that aspect, yes.
That's what I mean.
But that would be it.
I understand that no wife would be like, oh, wow, three times a week.
Oh, hairy midget in the house. No.
But for the sake of your health.
All right, but that would just be an obligation.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Bro, any sex she has with you is an obligation.
I also think that I know like couples who were trying to have a baby who really, it really became an obligation more than anything to have sex. And I think it kind of ruined it for them for a while.
All right.
Yeah, because now you're forcing it.
You're forcing it. It's so much more based on like your performance. There's more pressure there. Yeah, like I think like for a while they were like, it wasn't... It was more work than you think. And I can't imagine that's good for you.
So I wonder if this study, the way they show it.
Now, by the way, it's multiple studies all brought together in one article.
I wonder if this affects men more than women.
So it might be women.
Actually it affects more?
The lack of sex, yes.
Because they live longer than us generally anyway.
Maybe they're having sex with people behind our backs.
Okay, all right.
Who the hell knows?
Yeah, I mean, if your mailman's in his 80s.
No, in that study talking about higher risk of death, it was worse for women.
I would have thought it was the other way.
No, women that were having sex three times a week, it was a higher risk for women of early death than for men.
Wow.
I am also stunned.
Yeah.
Which is another reason. I'm doing it for you, baby. For you. 252-WCMF. We're talking about how in recent years, doctors have discovered, based on these studies, that sex is not just fun.
Yeah.
It's necessary for longer life. And could you use that as a pitch to get more sex out of your partner?
All right.
Let's talk to Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy. How are you, buddy?
You started this conversation by saying 20% of Americans over 18 are not having any sex whatsoever.
Yes.
And I did a quick search here and some 2023 data that says that 19% of the American population are senior citizens 65 and older.
Okay.
And the longevity has increased 34% since 2012. So in 13 years, the rise of senior citizens has gone up 35%. And people under 65 has only gone up by 2%.
Hmm.
So younger people are not backfilling here. And think of all the people.
Well, yeah, because she's not really into that.
Oh.
Come on. That was a good one. That was a good one.
They're not even listening to your stats anymore.
No, I got them. I heard him say backfill. Go ahead, Jeremy. I'm
exactly. So how many people do you know that are older that maybe one of their spouses died, that never remarried, never dated, just stopped having sex altogether?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that this is a significant portion of this makeup.
So you think it's the older set? All right, because Jeremy, I would argue, counterpoint, now granted, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but we talked about these stories before.
Yeah.
People are having sex even later into life than they ever
were.
Look
at those places down in Florida, man, that are out of control.
The Villages, and we've seen for the last 15 years, Jeremy, that the fastest growing rate of STD for age groups in America is over 60.
Yeah.
No, I agree with what you're saying. Okay. You've reported on those stories, but again, I'm wondering if these are widowers who've never, you know, bothered to date again or do anything again.
Very possible.
That's what I'm talking about. And your question about wives looking out for their husbands as far as, you know, keeping them healthier.
Mm-hmm.
I hate reality TV, but I watch one show because when I'm feeling down about myself, I watch this show to make me feel better, and that's Hoarders.
Mm.
Every married couple on Hoarders hates each other. They don't want to be in the same room with
each other.
They
can't see each other over the boxes.
No, you're not listening.
Exactly. So I guarantee they're not having any sex. So whatever portion of the population that is, has got to contribute to it as well.
The Hoarder population.
So it's people over 65 and people on A&E reality shows.
Exactly.
Jeremy, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest
Adios
of the day.
Sticks.
No, he brings up an interesting question.
What's
right?
That?
So it's possible it's people over 65. It's a greater population, and that's what's happening. I mean, we do know that younger people are not having as much sex.
The young ones coming up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I would like to see, you're right, that split up to see what portion of generations are having the most and least amount of sex.
Okay.
Because I can't imagine millennials are hurting in any way. Like, we were a very sexual generation, Kimmy. Banging everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
some of us.
Y'all were pigs.
No,
it was disgusting.
I cannot disagree with anything.
What I saw in the clubs was shocking.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, though. We didn't have as much. Yeah, but I feel like we were out meeting people more, whereas I think people.
Oh, y'all was out moving around.
People make the argument now kids are in their phones, they're not socializing, but they have access to more people that way.
Yeah, good call.
So I don't know.
Okay, so we talked about marriage and relationships and how you can use this information to go to your partner and say, hey, look, I want to stay healthier, we should be having more sex. But this information, talking about the 1 in 5 Americans that are sexless, that would do nothing for people that don't have a partner. Tommy, is the information we have is the information we have in front of us enough to make a legitimate pitch for legalized prostitution?
Oh, yeah. Why not?
And I'm being completely serious when I ask
this question.
I mean,
sex houses, where you just go and it's completely on the up and up like Amsterdam.
Yeah, 252-WCMF. Look, if these studies show that regular sex lowers depression, anxiety, improves heart health, lowers stress levels, gets you better sleep, increases your energy levels, and lowers your risk of early death, what reason would you not legalize prostitution? to give people access to those benefits.
Right.
Because you may be getting those benefits while also putting yourself in debt.
Okay. All right, but
it helps.
What relationship doesn't put you in debt?
It helps one thing, hurts another.
But Kimmy,
I don't know. Could also lead to more cheating,
okay,
which would make people unhappy.
But that's not my business.
Right.
And if you want to talk about...
But we're talking about what's going to get people healthier. I'm saying that could also take away from people's health and happiness.
Okay, the debt I'll listen to, right? But if you want to argue about the debt, I would argue that if you have depression, anxiety, heart health issues, high stress levels, you're not getting enough sleep, low energy, and you're at risk of early death, medical debt is going to get you.
Right.
And one of the worst glorious stuff on the
planet
ever.
Would it also, though, prevent people from having a relationship if they had access to that?
But if they didn't, but why are we forcing people to have a relationship?
But I mean,
having somebody to take care of you and like grow old together, I think like long term.
She's gonna charge extra for that.
Long term, I don't know. Is that helpful to people or does it hurt maybe your long term health?
But like going to a prostitute could also kickstart a guy's confidence and get him back in the game, make him feel good about himself,
or fall in love with that prostitute.
Okay.
Okay, but it still gets him going. And I know guys that have gone to prostitutes. That kind of got him back in the game. They felt good. I mean, she talked nice to him. He felt good about himself. He felt like a guy again.
Okay.
I mean, it was therapeutic.
Sure. I mean, Kimmy, an argument you made earlier about why people aren't having sex can actually be used for prostitution. Because the fact of the matter is, there are some people that have a real hard time finding a sexual partner. They are socially awkward. They are intimidated.
They're shy.
They live in isolated areas.
Mm-hmm. No,
right? Why should those people be burdened with the terrible medical things we were just talking about? Because if I told you guys right now, there is a pill you could take to improve every condition I just named, but it was illegal, folks would lose their minds. So why not regulate something like prostitution and give access to an activity that will legitimately, according to these studies, help them live longer, higher quality lives?
I mean, I'm not somebody who's against legalizing something like
that. Kinda sounds like you are.
I just don't think it's going to help the way you're painting it to help. I think that part of what helps people get on like a better health track is it's the sex, but it's also the relationship and the feeling of love.
Okay.
And
intimacy
and, you know, that partnership that also helps.
Okay, you're right. I mean, you may
be
right.
And you lack that. So maybe, yes, the physical act may be helping you in some ways, but you're also losing out on other things.
But here's the thing. If the physical act does help you in some way, wouldn't that be enough of an argument to
but
legalize
But my point
that?
Is, you're getting the physical thing and you're now, you don't care about the other stuff.
You're getting all the frosting out of the cake.
Yeah.
But it's a good frosting.
Whatever he said. I think it could lead some people to just being comfortable in that lifestyle, and that's fine. But maybe you're missing out on more because that's right there and you don't have to try.
When did Prude Kimmy show up in the break room?
She got missing trips to the mall and to my mom's house on Saturday.
What?
And I think I want to start going to church. You miss out on all that
stuff. And you're also only talking about men. We're talking about people.
No, women. Why could I was talking about prostitutes. Both.
Yeah.
Why could women not go to a prostitute?
They could, but will they?
I mean, but again, there's a stigma to it.
Yeah.
Look, I understand that we are a long way away from legalizing.
I think women are seeking more of that connection more than men.
Yeah, intimacy.
How do you know? How do you know there are women that just don't want to be, you know, hey, give it to me. Give it to me
good. Raw dog.
No, what?
No, they want to have a little fun.
Don't raw dog the prostitute.
They want to have some fun.
Put that on a t-shirt, sell it at Rock Shop.
Why do you say things at the most inappropriate time?
Well, I guess it's a gift like anything.
It's no, nobody said thank you for any of this. And by the way, like all the information we have in front of us when it comes to the health and, you know, well-being and all that. None of that's really surprising. In relationships where you've had good sex regularly, things are always better.
Yes.
Right? And maybe for years, now that we have this information, we didn't realize a connection. Like, we just thought getting laid made us happy.
Mm-hmm.
But if what these studies all found are true, maybe we weren't just happy because of the sex. Like, getting sex is great.
Yeah.
Maybe the sex was giving us a higher quality of life.
Yeah.
Both health-wise, mental-wise.
You were happy.
Yeah. But no, that's not what I'm saying.
Well, no, but I mean, I think that kind of goes to it.
You're not helping my three times a week sex
marriage. No, you're making my point.
Yes, you are. Yeah. You're making Kimmy's point. You're making prude old Kimmy.
But you want to be happy in life.
Yeah.
And if this gets you being a happy couple.
Short-term happy. What?
No, well, I'm saying overall happiness.
I gotcha.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Like, you know couples that are miserable, and you know couples that seem to be happy together. Mm-hmm. And they stick out. Like, both of those couples stick out. Like, you know them.
You know, the problem is you can never walk up to a couple and be like, how many times a week you have sex?
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what makes them happy. Is there
but
just...
I bet you you could guess. I bet
oh, you.
I will say this. I bet you if you hung out with a couple of couples, just based on their overall interaction and happiness between each other, I bet you you could come close to how many times they bang a month.
Kimmy, do you believe that?
Based on how they interact with...
I don't think for one second you can predict any couple's sex life, because I have been shocked before.
What do you mean?
Women talk about this more than men do.
You got the numbers?
Well, no. I just think like there are some couples who are super PDA. They're always like touching and holding each other, and then come to find out they've had a terrible relationship the whole time. Like, I don't know if you can look at a couple and know what they're like in the bedroom.
There are also those women, and we've met these women before, that are super prude and nerdy. That when they get behind closed doors, they just want it all the time. And you would see that prude, nerdy woman and assume she's not giving it up.
All right. Well, all right. I'm out.
I'm out. He's out. He's done.
I'm out.
It's over. It's over. Down goes Tommy. All right. Let's take a break. Oh, thank God they made it back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because you and I were having this discussion yesterday. And again, it wasn't the getting there that was the issue. Mm-hmm. They got there.
Yeah.
It was the getting home.
Mm-hmm.
Because with these astronauts finally making it back.
Yeah.
You, as soon as the capsule hit the International Space Station, said, oh, good, we're good.
Yeah.
And I was like, No, not halfway there.
Okay.
No, thank goodness my fears were not confirmed. But now that you're home, there's things to do.
Oh, sure.
You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. For the first time in 9 months, the two stranded astronauts in the International Space Station are back on Earth soil. I do want to start with one thing.
What's that?
We've been covering this story for 9 months. We probably talked about it a dozen times.
Yeah.
Yesterday was the first day I learned that the guy astronaut's name was Butch.
Butch?
How did that not come up in all of the conversations?
That's not a nickname. That's his actual name.
He was. I don't know. It's got to be a nickname. You don't name your baby Butch.
Yeah, that's a nickname.
Well, I don't know. How old is he?
He looks like he's in his 50s.
Yeah.
Right? Kimmy, can you Google Butch Wilmore and tell me what his real name? Because Buzz is not Buzz Aldrin.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Do you have to have
Barry quote Butch Wilmore?
Okay. Yeah, you go with Butch if your name's Barry.
Yeah.
You don't want to be a
Barry.
Like when you get to astronaut school, do they give you like the most masculine nickname possible?
I thought everybody got a nickname. Well, especially when you're like Top Gun guy.
What was Neil Armstrong's nickname?
Oh, that's a good question.
I think he had a strong enough last name to carry it through.
Oh, that's a good theory.
Yeah.
Well, no, Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz,
right?
Because he buzzed the ships.
No.
Yeah, that's how he got the name.
You just made that up.
No, he was famous for like buzzing ships and buzzing like the towers and stuff.
I can see the half smile on your face. How about you be a better liar?
How about you just open up a Bible and read a little American history?
Google how Buzz Aldrin got his nickname, please. Thank you.
You're going to be quite ashamed.
Quite ashamed? Now I know you're lying.
He was do the right thing.
Yeah?
Yes, he was.
Shut up.
Well, the character was.
After he was done in Roots?
Yeah.
With Gail Sayers?
Which was weird, like buzzing at that time was very difficult.
Buzz Aldrin's nickname, Buzz, originated in childhood when his sister mispronounced brother as buzzer, which became shortened to Buzz.
And, you know, that's what the CIA wants you to
do. He later changed his name officially to Buzz.
Wait, now it's on his birth certificate?
Yeah, so he legally changed his first name to Buzz in 1988.
Oh, come on, Buzz! All right,
kind of cool.
Anyway, getting away from the nicknames. By the way, the woman's name is Suni. S-U-N-I. Or is it Sunny?
Suni.
I think it's Suni.
Suni? Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Like, I mean, you picked the two weirdest named astronauts to get stranded in space. Maybe that's why they put them up there. Sick of saying your names around here. Okay. So they are home. They are safe. They splash landed yesterday.
Haven't seen their families in 9 months.
You got it. So, Tommy, you have been in space for 9 months.
Yeah.
What is the first thing you are doing when they clear you from all of the medical tests at the facility?
You got to have chow and sex.
Okay.
That has to be the two.
Okay, we were just talking about sex. Let's talk about that real quick. I cannot imagine, based on what they've been through in zero gravity, that sex would be the healthiest thing right now. I'm assuming.
I was thinking like just what it would be like just to stand on your own 2 feet and feel gravity again.
So they rolled him out. Did you see that? They put him on like a gurney.
Yeah, like it must take a while to readjust to feeling your body weight.
All right, can I ask you to Google one more thing? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
How long do you have to wait to have sex when you come back from space? Because I bet you there's got to be a limit, right?
I would just think physically it would take a second to readjust.
Well, probably more for the man than the woman.
Why? Because she's just got to lay there?
Well,
but question. I wonder if your body parts take a while to, like, function again.
Yeah, her ovaries are in her throat right now. They're called throaturies.
Well, let's check that out.
She's actually now a member of the Throatery Club. Okay. No, it's true. I love your. That's how Buzz Aldrin got his nickname.
I would think like your sack in space might get a little funky.
Wait. We're talking about sex in space.
Because like I don't know how your sperm acts in zero gravity.
Funky sex.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how. Because
wasn't that one of your favorite jazz artists? From
love
back
that
in the day?
Guy. Yeah.
Says it shouldn't.
Sackety pop.
There's no specific waiting period. Just depends
just
on
go.
When
okay.
you're ready.
Get it on.
So you're having sex right off the.
Well, food and sex are the two things you got to have immediately because you miss all the good chow.
Okay.
And you haven't been intimate.
Yeah, you're right. All right. Which one's first?
I think you got to eat first.
Okay.
Because you need your strength.
All right. Let's say you get home and your partner's been waiting for you for 9 months. What do you do? No. Taco Bell.
Big plate of ziti, then we get after it.
No. You can't have a big plate of ziti.
That's not going to digest well.
You know, you're going to. Every guy is going to wolf down that first meal in like 7 seconds.
But and you're going to regret it.
Yes, they haven't had real food in 9 months. Like, your digestive system would freak
out.
But
that doesn't stop, guy. I get that. But we're like dogs guarding our own food.
These are scientists. I'm sure that they know.
Oh, they're not. They're scientists. What are they going up there doing, looking at screws and ants?
Yeah. What are you doing?
Ants in space.
All he knows, Kimmy, all he knows of space is the Simpsons episode where they put Homer on the space station.
Like, I don't know what level of scientists these people are. They were in no rush to go get them. We were flying junk up there to see if it worked.
I don't think they just put non-qualified people.
I understand that, but, you know, there's all levels of jobs. I don't know where they rank as far as importance of astronauts.
Are you questioning the qualifications of two astronauts?
We sent them up there and they broke a plane.
They didn't break it?
Well, somebody broke the goddamn plane.
A man whose single point of reference for space technology was a Simpsons episode from 1994 is questioning the academic.
You don't have to be a scientist.
And I don't know.
Did
they fly themselves up there?
Good question. Because the Boeing Starliner, the experimental ship.
But they brought the Starliner back.
But I think it went back on its own with nothing. I think they autopiloted at home.
Okay.
They dislodged it, kicked it out.
Okay.
Get out of here. No, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if they had someone else on the ship, they could have just gone back with them.
Mm-hmm. All right, so if you're asking me, I'm eating first, then banging.
Okay.
But tight. Chow to Giner is going to be pretty tight.
That
Kimmy?
Seems like a terrible decision.
It is. What's the first thing you're doing when you get back to Earth?
I mean, probably eating. You're asking the snack queen. I'm going straight for the Doritos, pasta, pizza, all the food that I was denied for 9 months.
Kimmy is now referring to herself in the third person as the snack queen.
The snack queen.
Yeah, I'm dying for some snacks.
Yeah, I think food's got to top it.
I'm definitely, I think it's going to take you a while to adjust to, like, mentally and physically, so I'm probably getting high at some point coming back.
Oh, yeah,
I need to chill out for a while. I'm traumatized.
Okay, again, I'm going to guess that adding those chemicals to your body after what you just experienced is probably really bad.
Or you get a better high.
Yeah. I forgot about booze.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'd have to go.
Like, you were clean from everything for 9 months.
Like prison.
But it also gives you an opportunity to never have to go back to that stuff.
Oh, I'm going right back to
it. Bro, your body is detoxed completely.
Yeah, let's get started, man. I got a clean slate. So I want to reorganize my priorities.
Okay, go ahead.
Chow.
Yeah.
Cocktail. Uh-huh. Bang.
So you're going to be full of ziti drunk, and you think that this is not going to be the most disgusting sexual experience
I just
life.
Served our country.
What did you do?
I went up to space. According to you, I was one of the top people. I had the right stuff. I went up there and checked on all the screws.
Do you look at astronauts as patriotic?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're part
of them. You just crapped on them!
I know.
You just crapped on them!
But there's all levels of military. There's the general, and there's the guy down here on the forklift. There's everybody.
They weren't running a forklift. They were on a spaceship.
I get it. A lab, not really a ship.
They took a ship to...
That they broke.
They didn't break it. 252 WCMF. The astronauts that were stranded in space for 9 months are finally home. They got home yesterday. Looks like everybody's safe. We're trying to figure out what the first thing you would do is. I'm going to go to the phones in a second. I think you're both wrong. I think the first thing you do, because you were without entertainment for 9 months, you're going to sit down and just veg out, watch TV, and see what happened in the news, right?
Yeah.
Not ease.
You got to get caught up.
Reality TV, maybe? Think about this. You freak out when Kimmy waits 2 days to watch White Lotus or The Boat Show.
But wouldn't you eat while you're watching?
Okay,
fine. You can do all those things at the same time.
Eat TV and get a knob job. How's that? Is that very good?
It sounds like a pretty good night.
252 WCMF. Let's talk to Ben. Hey, Ben. How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. A shocker. Pat thinks everybody is wrong, but no, I would have to get something to eat, whether it's pizza, chicken wings, or a steak, and then probably drink some Jack and Coke.
Okay.
And then probably get some sex.
Okay. I mean, he should know. He kind of lives his lifestyle right now because he has no money.
Exactly.
Every day's a splash landing.
All right, so Ben, you are food, alcohol, sex.
Yeah, I mean, think about it, though. Is if you don't have alcohol for 9 months, that beer or whiskey or whatever you're drinking is going to probably taste amazing.
And it's going to hit you hard. You're going to be on your ass.
It's going to be like you're 15 getting
drunk. You're going to be seriously messed up.
Okay, but here's the thing. Think about this. Let's say you walk into your home and your partner is there.
Yeah.
They've been waiting for you for 9 months, and you go, no, wait. I want food and booze. What a slap in the face to your partner.
How about just
Or hold up, I need some juice, then let's go.
All right, let's say that here's a scenario.
Okay.
You come home. The kids are away. She's like, you haven't done anything yet.
All right, he almost went down what his fantasy was.
All right, so she's ready to go. She's in like...
Hey, Ben, thanks for the call, buddy.
She's got the sexy outfit on. She set the mood.
Okay.
There's food and booze on the table.
Yeah.
But she's also in the mood. What do you go for? Now it's all laid out in front of you. She's ready to go. Hot plate of food, alcohol.
Food's getting cold.
What do you do?
If she's prepared herself.
I mean, she's ready to go. I mean, she is shaved. She is plucked. She's in one of them Victoria's Secret.
We got it. We got the image.
Mama's hot and red ass.
Yeah, you got to go that one first.
Brazilian all the way.
Even if you don't want
it. She's already made the decision for you.
Yeah, even if you say no to that and start eating lasagna.
So you got it. All right.
Yeah, you got to go second.
All right. Do you grab something on the way in?
No, you don't grab. What are you, Costanza? No.
Let's say we're going in, but there's like a plate of bread right there. You grab a little that. Maybe you take a hit off the booze. Then you go on the way in.
You're bringing a charcuterie board.
Yes.
In your bedroom.
Okay. Yeah.
How about the first thing you're doing is just simply laying down in your bed?
You've been laying down for 9 months.
No, yeah. But they haven't. Don't you slept upright without like putting your head on a pillow for that long of time?
Good
like
point.
It would feel good just to like let your body melt into your bed for a little bit.
At what point do you feel gravity again when you're coming back? Is it when
right
you
away,
hit
I
the
think.
Water? No, I'm saying like because
like your
back,
body adjusts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought they said 2 days. I thought they said.
Oh no, I meant like just
like on your way in.
Yeah, like the sensation of feeling gravity for the first time in 9 months has got to be like messing with you.
Yeah, because it's hard to walk and stuff. So I saw one of the guys who had been up there for a while.
Yeah,
they said he grew 2 inches in space.
Yep,
like your spine expands. I guess
it happens when you sleep. You're taller. You're the tallest you are all day when you first wake up.
Really?
Yeah, it's a fact.
I'm all hunched over.
Okay, maybe not you, but everybody else.
I literally crawl out of bed.
Your spine,
I look like an armadillo getting out of bed. Ain't no spine to it.